Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate show. I'm Clayton Morris. This is the show where we aim to help you become a more intelligent real estate investor. And I believe one of the ways that we can grow is by listening to questions from other people. Very often, you are not going to have all of the questions, and you might not have even thought of some of these questions. And that's what today's Q&A episode is all about. You leave us a voicemail question about real estate, taxes, anything that's on your mind, and we will answer it here on the show. We've got three great questions from our viewers today. Did I say great questions like Donald Duck? Donald Duck or Daffy Duck? I don't know. Anyway, yes, we've got three great questions from our viewers today. You can leave us a voicemail question by going to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. That's how you can leave us a 30-second question, and we will play it here on the show. We do get a lot of questions, so just be patient. If you don't hear your question answered next week, it could be a few weeks from now. So just have a little patience there. Okay, we've got three great questions today, and our first one comes to us from Madeline or Madeline.
Hi, Clayton. Love you. Love your show. Thank you so much for all that you do. I had a question about tenants. Aside from the eviction moratoriums and all of that going on, what do I do if one of my tenants doesn't pay rent? Like, how do you handle that? And what steps can you take if it does happen? Thank you so much.
Thank you, Madeline. Well, first, let me just say that this is not something that you should be handling. This is something that a property management team should be handling. And the way to mitigate non-paying tenants or tenants that I'm not talking about, we'll talk about the pandemic and COVID in just a second, hence all of the different weird state laws and the Biden administration trying to extend that moratorium, which is now up, and all of that craziness with the CDC. That's a whole different animal. But just in general, let's pretend the pandemic didn't exist. This is not something that you should be dealing with. By having a great property management team, they're going to do a vetting process to make sure that that tenant doesn't have evictions on their record. So that helps to mitigate the tenant moving in the property. Now suddenly they are one of these tenants that stops paying. Okay, that's not likely going to happen when you've got a great property management company. Also, you want to be investing in areas, of course, where you have high job growth. So for instance, where we build our properties at Morris Invest, if you go to our website, morrisinvest.com, you can see some of our new construction properties. That's where we build in these high job growth areas where there's incredible demand. So if we ever have a vacancy on a property, we've got a waiting list for tenants to get into that property. So there, you know, you want to be in areas where there's jobs, there's low vacancy rates. So I think you really need to do the homework on the front end before you invest. Because non-paying tenants can be rare. It may happen, you know, but it should be rare if you do the front work ahead of time. You know, if you, it's sort of like medicine, right? If you shouldn't have to see a doctor if you take care of yourself, right? And that's the way I look at real estate investing. If you're investing in areas that have a low vacancy rate, low crime, high job growth, you're in the best school districts, then you're probably not going to have non-paying tenants. And if you do, then you also want to be in states that are landlord friendly. So where we invest, like Texas, they do not put up with non-paying tenants. Okay. They are, you would have that tenant evicted in 2 weeks. Very, very fast process. Now, if you're in other states like California or, you know, New Jersey, you have to hire a lawyer. It could take almost a year to get it. Or Florida, you can get, like, you know, squatters in these properties can take a long time to get out of a property. In fact, I just read an article the other day about a guy who literally bought a house and for 24 years, he just never paid the mortgage. And he's claiming now a COVID hardship. And the judge is like, sorry, 24 years? Like, you do not want to be investing in those states. Those are called, you know, non-landlord friendly states. So in Texas, boom, you don't pay and there's no reason that you're not paying. There's no pandemic hardship or something like that. They will have no thought at all about removing you from a property and then placing a new tenant in that property. So I think I want you to do the hard work up front, making sure that you're investing in areas where you shouldn't have non-paying tenants, okay? And the property management team is going to do their job screening the tenant, doing criminal background checks on the tenant, making sure they don't have evictions on their record, all of that, so that they are a good, high-quality paying tenant in the property. Now, having said that, if you do and you are managing a property yourself and suddenly a tenant doesn't pay, and it's not COVID related. Let me again put that on the shelf. If it's not pandemic related, let's put that on the shelf for a second. Then, of course, if you're doing this yourself, you're going to want to find out what your state laws are. You know, how do you file an eviction? So certain states obviously require you to hire a lawyer, like the state of New Jersey. Then a lawyer has to deal with that. You have to pay a lawyer and go through a whole process for an eviction process. You may find that it's much easier in certain states, and you could just file that with the county to file an eviction process for non-payment of rent, and you go through that process. But the other thing you may want to consider is just having, if you are managing the tenant yourself and you're not working with a property manager, you know, you're going to end up, I would recommend having a conversation with that tenant. Like if you're the manager of that tenant and you didn't hire a property manager, have a conversation with that tenant. Like, what's going on here? You know, and at the end of the day, I always want to err on the side of being humane. You know, life things happen, right? We had a veteran in one of our properties, and basically the veteran's benefits just didn't come or arrive for him in time. And he got behind on his rent. These were properties in New Jersey that, you know, the horror story I've told you about my New Jersey experiment, and I will never invest in New Jersey again. But we kind of managed these properties ourselves. We did it as an experiment, in part for the show and also just to try it out. It seemed like a good deal at the time. And we ended up kind of managing it, and we spoke to the tenant, and we spoke to the Veterans Affairs company, or, you know, that it would provide him with a portion of his rent. They were behind. They apologized. So we were able to work it out, and he got caught up, and we were fine. So having a conversation, erring on the side of humanity being humane is always a good thing, right? Don't be a cold-hearted landlord like these Wall Street companies and just kick somebody out. Now let's talk about the pandemic side of the eviction process. Yes, eviction moratoriums in certain states have continued even despite the federal eviction moratorium drying up and running out. The Supreme Court has basically said that the CDC cannot do these eviction moratoriums. Congress has to write a law to be enforceable, and Congress has not written a law for eviction moratoriums. And so COVID-related things are still out there. And obviously certain people have not been able to return to their jobs because the daycare or the daycare center where their child would go is not open yet. So they've had to stay home, and it's just a mess. So in those situations, you want to find out, is it COVID-related? And also there are rental assistance programs available that most people don't even know about. There's over $25 billion in a fund right now for landlords to take advantage of COVID-related rental assistance programs in your state. Every state is responsible for doling out this money. So contact your state. Okay, every state has a website. File for this information and get some of that rental assistance back to you at a landlord level. They'll send it to the landlord. You just have to prove that the tenant hasn't been paying. So those assistance programs are available to you. Anyway, Madeline, I hope you found this helpful. But again, investing in areas where you shouldn't have to worry about tenants not paying is key. That's step number one before you go down that have those issues later on. All right, our next question comes to us from, and I hope I'm saying this person's name right, Anselmo. Anselmo, let's try that. Hopefully I pronounced it correctly.
Hi, Clayton. This is Anselmo calling from the Boston, Massachusetts area. I'll make this quick, hopefully. I have two investment properties. One is a two-family. The other is a three-family. The two-family, I'm looking to sell that one. I owe about $350,000, and it's worth about $800,000. And I think I can avoid a good amount of capital gains on that one. The three-family, I owe about $370,000. It's worth about $1.2 million. And I was thinking of refinancing that one. It does cash flow. I know there's a cap rate of about 5.4%, cash flowing about, you know, $2,500. But I was told it's a good idea to sell high and then find an emerging market to reinvest those funds. And so that's what I'm looking to do. Also have a real estate, an e-commerce business that I would invest in, some of the funds in as well. So I wanted to get your thoughts on that particular three family, if I should sell, refinance, pull out a HELOC. I don't want to necessarily wait for another market cycle where I can sell again. So that's why I'm considering selling now. And but again, wanted to get your thoughts on that, whether I should sell, refinance, HELOC. But again, kind of thinking it would probably be best to sell now and locate an emerging market. Love to hear from you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Anselmo. So a couple of things there. You know, and I don't mean to sort of push what we do at Morris Invest, but I will say from a cap rate perspective in an emerging market where we are, like in West Texas, our cap rates are going to be way higher than that, what you're getting right now. And that's not like in any kind of like rubbing in or something. But I think what you're doing is very smart, which is you want to look at your overall portfolio. And so this is what I would do, right? If I've got, you know, 50 rental properties in different markets across the country, I want to look at my portfolio like you're doing. And I want to see, wait a second, these have really appreciated nicely. But the cap rate, about 5%, it's okay. It's not great, right? It's kind of low, to be honest with you, for a three family or a two family. Like, you know, book a call with our team and we'll talk some numbers with you. And you, I think you'll see what we could do, even from a 1031 exchange perspective. So that way you're not paying those capital gains. So we have a 1031 exchange program internally where you could take those properties into the 1031 exchange and then roll those profits into multiple two families, multiple cash flowing brand new construction properties in an emerging market, and then not paying the capital gains. So we do have a 1031 exchange program. Again, book a call with us on that. But my point is, you want to look at your portfolio very often. And you want to see, for instance, maybe you bought a crappy property. I know this was the case with me. You know, like I bought in a C-class neighborhood a number of years ago. And it just so happens that that neighborhood is completely changed. I saw the demographic signs at the time. I knew it was getting better. There was a lot of investment coming in. Now that particular property might be an A-class property. And now the ROI is not there, right? Because now the cash flow from the rent is kind of out of whack, but it's appreciated nicely, right? It's gone up a couple of $100,000. Well, it makes now more sense for me as an investor to roll that into a 1031 exchange in and buy additional properties. Take that one property, right, and now buy five properties because it's appreciated so nicely. So that's one thing that I would consider doing. That sounds to me what your numbers sound like right now. Especially if you're in the Massachusetts area, it's not a landlord-friendly state. I will tell you this. Okay, so there's a couple of things working against you there. You have a low cap rate, not landlord-friendly, and actually on the positive side, you've got all of this appreciation in a market right now. Like we are in one of the hottest markets we will ever see. And there are signs, you know, as inflation is going up and the Federal Reserve is starting to taper bond purchasing, there's going to be, we're going to slide back down. So I think, you know, if it were me personally, I would be selling right now, not waiting another 10 years for another market to do what it's doing right now on the multifamily space. So I definitely would consider putting those things up, taking that profit in a 1031 exchange and rolling that over. I think you're in the right position. I think taking a home equity line of credit, you know, then you're sitting again on that 5% cap rate. You know, and if it's valued at 1.2 million or whatever, what if that value drops significantly and the bank may say, well, we're going to cancel your home equity line of credit, which happens all the time, all the time. Banks are like, you know what? We're just going to eliminate this HELOC that we gave you. And now you're like, what? Now my property value dropped. I lost the home equity line of credit. Now what am I going to do? So things to consider, but I think you're asking the right questions and I'm excited for you, man. I think you've got some great equity there that you can turn into some really, a really powerful portfolio. Imagine having like seven or eight properties because you were smart and were able to sell that in through a 1031 exchange, et cetera. So anyway, Anselmo, book a call with our team at Morris Invest. Just go to morrisinvest.com and we'll help you. We'll totally help you. Just point you in the right direction. And if we can't help you, we'll point you in the right direction. So, I will tell our team to take care of you. Today's episode is brought to you by Masterworks. There's a new investment that's closely related to real estate that's sweeping across America, one that's consistently beat the traditional real estate market, but it's been historically off limits to everyday investors. Now, sure, the wealthiest titans like Jeff Bezos, Oprah Winfrey, they own mansions valued at over $100 million, but what's inside of these mansions that's actually worth much more than the mansions themselves? This overlooked real estate doesn't require any credit checks or complicated paperwork. And for the first time ever, everyday investors can participate in these deals. This real estate is contemporary art. Not many people know about this lucrative, unexpected, tangible asset class and how powerful it can be. Contemporary art prices have outpaced the S&P 500 by 174% from 1995 to 2020. In times of high inflation, it's beaten traditional real estate investments and gold by more than 4 times. And look like we're heading into a high inflation period, folks. And now, thanks to Masterworks, the $1 billion tech company, you can buy fractional shares in $1 million paintings. That's right. Now, you can invest in this exciting alternative asset class for a fraction of the cost. Masterworks has already successfully launched more than 70 of these offerings for a total of over $250 million worth of art. Naturally, there's a long wait list to get on the Masterworks platform. And previous offerings have sold out in hours, but they've given us 50 VIP passes, only 50 of them, giving our listeners early access. To secure your spot as one of the 50 people, go to masterworks.io. It's .io. Go to masterworks.io/investing. You have to use that URL. Again, that's masterworks.io/investing. See important disclosures at masterworks.io/disclaimer. Okay, our next question comes to us from Jag, J-A-G, cool name, Jag.
Hi, Clayton. This is Jag speaking from Dallas. I'm acquiring 2 properties to your company. My question is, as you have mentioned several times, that investors can write off property depreciation based on my research only. Professional real estate investors are allowed to write off property depreciation. Since we are starting off as a new investor, how can we take an advantage of those write-offs? Thank you.
Great question, Jag. So let me just repeat your question. You're talking about depreciation and writing off these things from a property's perspective. And congratulations. You're working with our company to acquire 2 properties. That's great. So number one, I would just speak with our team members about that. So, because they're going to know your situation better than I will. And they're going to be, if you're obviously you're buying 2 properties from us, then our team has been working with you on that. So I would specifically dive in a little bit deeper on that. But I would also make sure that you've got a great real estate accountant. This is very, very important. If you don't have an accountant, okay, a CPA that understands real estate, it's time to go shopping for another real estate investor. On our website, we've got a lower your taxes tab. Okay, there's a reason it's there because we work with the team from Wealthability. They are amazing. They set up an entire tax team just for our clients at Morris Invest. Okay. And they go from pricey to not as pricey and in a range, depending on where you are in that financial cycle, where you are in your investing journey. So don't be put off by thinking, oh, they're a very expensive tax team. They're not, especially if you don't need as many of their services, if you're just getting started, Jag. So I would speak with them. Number one, yes, you're going to be able to, if it's new construction, okay, and you are a real estate professional, there's a couple of things to think about here. If you're not familiar with what that means, a real estate professional means that you qualify with the IRS. That is your primary job, okay, as a real estate professional. Now, you cannot have another full-time job and qualify as a real estate professional. This has to be your primary income. Okay, or not primary income, but it has to be your primary weekly chore that you're doing is real estate investing. And a spouse can do this. So maybe you work full time and your spouse is a stay-at-home spouse. That spouse can qualify as a real estate professional by going and working over 750 hours a year in real estate. And that can be simply researching. That can be seeing properties. It can be taking care of your portfolio. It can be listening to podcasts, reading books on real estate, education, studying different markets. But you just have to catalog that on your calendar, that your spouse, okay, is now a real estate professional. And by her or him becoming a real estate professional, that includes you as a tax family if you're filing jointly, okay? Again, these are all things to talk about with your CPA. We talk, when we talk to doctors and so forth at our company, when they book a call with us, very often doctors are completely unaware that their stay-at-home spouse could qualify as a real estate professional under the tax code, okay? And they, the doctor that pays a boatload in taxes, now can be saving hundreds of thousands of dollars in taxes by now having their spouse qualify as a real estate professional, because now their entire family has just altered their taxable income and the way in which they're able to file their taxes. So it's a game changer for dentists and other, you know, folks that make a lot of money in the medical profession that have a stay-at-home spouse, that they can qualify, even just getting a realtor's license and then spending that time. You know, it's not like you're suddenly now having to go out and show properties on a Sunday. No, just even doing research, just understanding what being a real estate professional is all about can be a game changer for you and your family. So Jag, yes, I would first make sure you have the right type of accountant, okay, a real estate accountant. And if you're buying our new construction properties, okay, you can qualify for all kinds of additional tax benefits because it's new construction. And you're able to write off those, you're accelerating that depreciation in this calendar year through things called a cost segregation analysis. But again, you have to be a real estate professional to be able to take advantage of some of those things. I know this is a little complicated. It might be too complicated for a podcast right now, but we have full videos here on the channel. If you go to our YouTube channel or listen to the podcast, we have full videos on cost segregation analysis, qualifying for a real estate professional status with the IRS, and what things you can write off on your taxes. Those are all things that we have here on the channel. So please check those out. But Jag, if you're working with our team, speak with the person on our team that you're working with, and they will help you set you up successfully for those write-offs on those new construction properties. So some great questions today. Made me think a lot. Sorry, I was doing a lot of talking today, but we had some really good questions here. A little bit longer than I normally go on these shows, but hopefully some useful information for all of you. And you would like to, if you'd like to leave me a voicemail message, you can do so just by going to morrisinvest.com and go to morrisinvest.com/Clayton. Click on the voicemail button and ask any question that you have. We will try to answer it here on the show. So thank you so much for joining us. Now go out there, take action, become a real estate investor. I believe it's the number one way to make and preserve your family's wealth. We'll see you next time, everyone.